Hey there, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're talking about The How of Happiness by Sonia Lyubomirsky. Sophie, I have to ask, did this book change how you think about being happy?
Hi there, Sam. It really did. I mean, we've all heard happiness is a choice, right? But this book actually proves it with real research. It's not just a platitude. There's a science to it.
Yeah. And the first thing that hit me was that pie chart she opens with. 50% of our happiness is genetic, 10% is circumstances, and a whopping 40% is intentional activities. That 40% is everything.
Exactly. And that's the whole premise. Most of us spend all our energy trying to change that 10%, getting the promotion, moving to a better city, when the real leverage is in our daily habits.
Right? She calls it the hedonic treadmill. You get a raise, you're happy for a month, and then you adapt. The new car becomes just the car. So you chase the next thing, and you're back where you started.
It's honestly freeing, though, because it means you don't have to wait for your life to change to be happy. You can start right now with what you do every day.
So let's talk about the strategies. The first one she really emphasizes is gratitude. And I'll admit, when I first heard keep a gratitude journal, I rolled my eyes a little.
Me too. But then I actually tried it. She recommends writing down 5 things you're grateful for once a week. It forces your brain to scan for positives.
Yeah, and she's not saying ignore the bad stuff. It's about training your attention. After a few weeks, I started noticing little things I'd normally breeze past, like a good cup of coffee or a friend's text.
And that counters the hedonic adaptation. You stop taking the good stuff for granted. The research shows it really does boost well-being over time.
Another one that got me was the best possible selves exercise. You write for 15 minutes about your ideal future, career, relationships, health, as if everything went perfectly.
It's not about winning the lottery. It's about envisioning a life you could actually build. And the science says it increases positive effect and gives you a sense of agency.
I tried it, and honestly, it shifted something. Instead of feeling stuck, I started seeing my current struggles as steps toward that vision. It's like hope becomes a muscle you can exercise.
Right. And then there's kindness. She suggests doing 5 acts of kindness in a single day. They can be small, helping a neighbor, giving a genuine compliment.
I did that on a Saturday. I bought coffee for the person behind me in line. I called my mom just to say hi. I left a nice note for a coworker. By the end of the day, I felt more connected to the world.
Because it breaks the cycle of self-absorption. When you're focused on helping others, you have less energy to ruminate on your own problems. And it boosts self-efficacy. You feel like an active agent of good.
She also talks about social comparison, which is huge in the age of social media. We're constantly comparing upward to people who seem richer, thinner, happier, and it's toxic.
Her solution is to compare downward or to compare yourself to your own past self. Are you better off than you were a year ago? That shift from external to internal benchmarks is so powerful.
And then there's savoring. She says we're so distracted that we miss the positive moments right in front of us. Savoring is about deliberately paying attention, really tasting your food, watching a sunset, sharing a happy memory.
Mindfulness is part of that too. Not emptying your mind, but observing your thoughts without getting caught up in them. It lets you notice joy without worrying when it'll end.
One thing she doesn't ignore is relationships. The single biggest predictor of happiness is the quality of your social connections. She recommends being proactive, showing up, listening, celebrating other people's good news.
And she has this specific strategy called responding actively and constructively. When a friend shares a success, don't just say, "That's nice." Get excited, ask questions. It deepens the bond.
There's also the mind-body connection. Exercise is one of the most effective antidepressants there is. And acting happy, smiling, standing up straight, actually signals your brain to feel happier.
It's the facial feedback hypothesis. Your brain reads your body's cues. So even a forced smile can start a virtuous cycle.
And she talks about flow, the that state of complete absorption where time disappears. She says to find activities that give you flow and make time for them. For me, it's writing. For you, I think it's painting.
Totally. And the opposite of flow is rumination, that endless negative loop. She offers strategies to break it, distraction, talking to a friend, cognitive restructuring.
The thing I keep coming back to is that happiness isn't a destination. It's a practice. You don't arrive and stay there. You have to keep doing the work.
And the book gives you the tools. It's not about eliminating negative emotions. Those are normal. It's about cultivating more positive ones and finding purpose.
So my biggest takeaway is that 40% really is that powerful. I can't change my genes or some of my circumstances, but I can choose to practice gratitude, kindness, and savoring. That changes everything.
And if you want to go deeper, the whole library is on the 7-Minute Books app at 7minutebooks.com/app. Over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, and it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
That's a solid deal. So to wrap it up, The How of Happiness shows that happiness is a skill you can build, not a lottery ticket you're waiting for.
Exactly. It's about taking that 40% and running with it. We'll see you in the next one.